All right, if you got a Bible, if you want to get it, turn to Psalm 103. House lights, so you can see your Bible in front of you. And as you're turning there, I want to share a story with you. It's a story of a forgetful farmer, okay? There's a story that I read this week. There was a farmer who had a cow dog, and what this cow dog, he was super trained, and what it did, it could get all the cattle into the pen by itself and even hit a latch that would latch the gate. This farmer had some family that came out to watch him. These city folk came out to watch, and they were uber impressed. They were super impressed, and they said, "Oh my goodness, that's amazing. That's the best dog I've ever seen. I've never seen a dog be able to do what you just did with that dog. What is that dog's name?" And the farmer said, "Okay, what's that?" You'd help me with this. He said, What's that flower that's red? It's got thorns, smells really good." And everybody collectively said, "It's a..." He said, "Yes. Hey, Rose." His wife's name was Rose. "What's our dog's name?" I think that's a funny story. I just don't know. But we forget things all the time. We saw a little picture of the children's sermon where Brock was hanging out with some questionable people. I love how everybody saw Batman. You thought you were going to catch him with Batman, but everybody knew Batman. Today's psalm is the Psalm of David. It's a psalm of remembering. It's a psalm of recollecting who God is and why we praise and why we worship him. Let me read it. I want to pray. We got a lot to unpack. I'm pretty excited about today. And so I hope you'll press in and we'll get into this together. Let me read this, Psalm 103, 1 through 22. And by the way, the last song we just sang was written from this. Verse 1, your Bible may say, "Bless, praise, bless the Lord, O my soul." That's where this song came from. "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals are like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his command and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his thing, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host. You his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul." Let's pray. Father, as we come to this worship service, having just praised you and give you glory and honor through song, I pray that we continue to worship today in your word. I thank you for this psalm of what I've learned as I've prepared this sermon, and I thank you as we reflect and we remember and we listen to David's words as he implores with us to not forget who God is. So Holy Spirit, move. Would you just open our hearts to receive what you have for us today? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's title, sermon title, if you will, is called "Don't Forget to Remember." Don't raise your hand, but does anybody have a struggle remembering things? some of you are shaking your head, and you're thinking about, I mean, even if it's a normal things, I mean, if you forget to take your medicine, forget to give your kids their medicine, and you're thinking, oh, maybe you forgot you had an appointment. Maybe you had a doctor's appointment that you missed. Maybe it was somebody's birthday. Maybe it's somebody's name. Maybe you were on a trip, and God forbid, you forgot to pack something. Maybe it's, this is my pet peeve, is forgetting your password on your computer. Okay, I'm not going to ask you if everybody has the same password for everything, but you probably do, or you have something similar, but you can't remember them all. We forget all these things, and I confess that half of those things that I just illustrated were things that I have forgotten. And before smartphones, before calendars, there are even industries of things like Post-it notes. Those things exist just so you, if you forget something, you stick them on somewhere. How many of you have a smartphone, if you don't put it in your calendar, you'll forget it? If you don't put it in your phone, when somebody says, hey, you got a doctor's appointment, and what's the first thing you do? Either write it down on a sticky note, if you got them, if you carry those around, or you pull out your phone, and you plug it in your calendar, right? Because if not, you're going to forget, even though it's a very important thing. It's not because you hate the doctor or hate your appointment or hate your children to go. It's the fact that you get busy doing other things and you forget. This passage, if you remember from this whole series when we started, are psalms that are read in the temple. They were public. They were read in forms just like this to worship the Lord. And this is what David does. Let's walk through this text together. Look at the first two verses. There is an indictment on us, but a challenge for us also to remember and to recall and to reflect on the goodness of our God. In Psalm 1 and 2, look at this. Praise the Lord, or bless the Lord, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's where the sermon title came from. There's two things here. He says, praise the Lord and don't forget. Praise the Lord, bless the Lord, give him glory and praise and honor, and don't forget who he is. But I want you to see something in these first two verses. Because what David is doing is that he's, oddly, who's he talking to? Himself. He's preaching to his soul, and he's talking to himself, and he's saying, David, don't forget it. Don't forget the Lord. Praise him. Bless him. Honor him. Give him glory that he rightly deserves. And he preaches and he speaks to his inmost being, his inner soul, and he's saying, praise him. Give him glory and give him honor. And he says, don't forget. And he talks about the benefits. And the benefits basically means that word denotes something that promotes one's well-being. So I don't think I've got to go on a limb here to say, has the Lord benefited your well-being? And so what David's doing, look right at me, what he's doing is he's asking you, and he's asking me as we read this text to say, don't forget, praise him, but how has the Lord been good for you? I'm not asking you a question of who God is, we'll get to that later, but would you confess either out loud or quietly that God is good? He's been good to you? Worthy of our praise, he's worthy of our affections, and he's worthy of our innermost desire. Was he worthy enough to come into the service this morning and worship him? Is he worthy to open up our Bibles and to explore the nature of who he is? If God's breathed words to us, is he worthy of that? Do you ever forget who he is? Praise his holy name. David says, he's talking to his soul. He's saying, don't do it, David. Don't neglect that. Don't stray. Stop it. He's preaching to his soul. And then he's saying, remember, remember, and remember. And I love as we get into verse 3, is this call to worship. Praise the Lord. Don't forget. And then look at verse 3. This is the lengthy text here, but he starts to go on a laundry list of things of why. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to do something. As I read this again, would you underline every descriptive word you see? If not, just act like it. Nobody will know. I'm just teasing, seeing who's listening. Okay, look at verse 3. Listen to the why. This is the why we worship, why we praise, why hopefully you got out of bed this morning, and why we've had our Bibles open while we're reading. He says, this is the God who, verse 3, who forgives all your sins, and he heals your diseases, who redeems your life from a pit and crowns you with love and compassion, and he satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate, he is gracious, he is slow to anger, he abounds in love, he will not always accuse, he doesn't harbor anger forever, he doesn't treat you, if you're with me this morning, and amen person, this is your cue. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Thanks, appreciate it, Larry. All right, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east, you ready, Larry? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how they are formed and remembers they are but dust. That'll preach. I don't really have to say anything. That'll preach. And here's what I love about this Old Testament 103 Psalm. I'm about to get excited and spit, so just bear with me. This 103, this Psalm 103, this Old Testament text that is a prophetic looking at the Messiah, it is the most gospel-rich psalm in the entire book of Psalms. Arguably, some say it's the most gospel-rich book, or chapter in the whole Bible. You saw that. That reeks of the gospel. It just jumps off the page because we look at this through 21st century eyes, New Testament, knowing the new covenant of Jesus, and we know how he forgives, and we know how he paid for our sins. Through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his son Jesus. Verse 3 says he forgives of our sins. He heals us. Verse 4, he redeemed your life. And to redeem means to buy it out. He purchased it. He redeemed, it's a term used specifically, sometimes when slaves were in slavery, they were bought out, they were purchased out of slavery. And Jesus Christ's death on the cross is what redeems us and it purchased for us. Because what you're going to hear this whole sermon is reasons why we came here to church, why we praise him, why we worship him, and why we sing and give him glory and honor. No curveballs today. Never could throw a curveball anyway. So. He's redeemed your life. 5 says he satisfies your desires with good things, and there's bringing renewal to your life. Verse 6 says that he's bringing righteousness and justice for the oppressed. And in verse 7, if you got your Bibles, look at verse 7. It seems out of place. I'm not going to lie to you. When I read this, I thought, somebody messed up here. So surely when they were editing this and they're putting it all together, verse 7 got thrown in there by accident. It doesn't make sense. It's totally random. Why all of a sudden are we looking at verse 6 and saying, the Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed? It goes better to go straight to verse 8. But all of a sudden, randomly, we see this, he made known his ways to Moses. What? In this passage, this is the part that gets me going and gets my blood pumping. In this verse 7, David is referring to Exodus 32. Now, please catch this morning. Referring to Exodus 32 when Moses was on the mountainside. You know the story, I hope. And Aaron and the people, they got antsy. And you know what they did? They went around and said, you know what? He's taken forever on the mountainside. Let's get all the gold and let's, Bible trivia, let's melt them all together and make a golden, nice, awesome. Make a golden calf. And what did they do to that golden calf? Did they just put it over there as decoration? What did they do to or for that piece of golden jewelry calf? What did they do to that thing? They worshiped it. They got impatient. Moses was on the mountainside with God, and that's what David is referring to. And they got impatient, and they went to Aaron and said, we got to do something. We got to melt all this jewelry down. Think about how crazy this sounds. For us, it makes no sense. For them at the time of making idols and things like that, they melted it all down, and Aaron said, okay. And the part that breaks my heart, not only on top of that, not did they do this crazy thing, the people bowed and they worshiped a piece of gold in the shape of a cow. That's the part that breaks, and what David is referring in the midst of this, because everybody in the temple, when David would read this psalm, everybody in the temple understood that. He's part of us forgetting who God is because we set our affections on something else. He's talking about idolatry. He's talking about worshiping other created things rather than the Creator. What do we idolize and what do we worship? Was it impatience for those guys? Was it fear that maybe this God that Moses is going and hanging out with on the mountainside, maybe it's not real? Maybe we're too antsy, we got things to do. Let's just, but catch this. Could you make the argument that they neglected and forgot who their God was? Can I press it a little bit deeper? Could it be that they, in their inner being, in their soul, have been created and wired to worship, and they needed to find something to worship, and they weren't waiting on God? Our souls have been hardwired to worship. We worship something. We're going to give our affection and our desires to something, and we're created to do it to God. But what I do, and I bet you do, if we're honest, hopefully we're not worshiping golden cows. Please catch me if you're doing that. That's not good. But what we do is we have idolatry in our life, right? Every one of us do. We struggle with that. We worship other things, and we set our affections on something else, and it's not just because we think it's worth it. It's because 9 times out of 10, we forget the wonder and the glory of who our God is. I want you to feel the weight of this, because this is the meat of this whole Psalm 103. Tucked right in the middle of this whole passage is why we worship God, and after it, we're going to see more character of God, why we worship him. But the bottom line of Psalm 103 is that we have to be guarded against idolatry and not worship other things. And then for us, in the modern day context, for us, that could be things like this, like materialism. That's a modern day idol. We got to have things. It's killing us. We're in debt up to our eyeballs. We got credit cards maxed out because we think if we just get more stuff, we're going to be okay. And then that's not enough. We need a little bit more stuff. And we need this stuff. And we need that stuff. And we want their stuff. And we talked about that. We want this stuff. We look for created things that were never designed to fulfill us at all. We're asking them to do something that only God can do. What about people? This is another one. Our spouses. Sometimes we look to our spouses as to fulfill us, complete us. That's so weird. I mean, you complete me, all that stuff in the movies. To complete us. And we're asking something of our spouses that they can't do. We're asking our spouses to fulfill us, our innermost being, and they can't. Only God can do that. Or our children. We put things on our kids that we want them to fulfill us, and we ask them to be certain things, and it's crushing kids, it's crushing marriages, it's crushing friendships. We're asking people to be our gods, and we may not think it, but we set our affections and we set our desires, and we want them to complete us, fulfill us, to satisfy us, and they just can't do it. Sex, that's why the porn industry is exploding, and it's taking something that God has made and it's twisting it in turn of something that's more and more and selfish and this and that. It's destroying things. Substances, people, these are things that turn, this is just statistical things that people turn to. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be food. It's looking for something, someone to complete us, to make us feel joy, to make us have satisfaction, and it can't do it. Status, money, all these things, none of which are bad in themselves. Good things can become bad things when they become lowercase g God things. When we ask something to fulfill us, to sustain us, to give us hope, to give us joy, and it just can't do it. They worshiped that golden cow for a long time. And it didn't work. What do you worship? What are the tendencies for us? And I need you to be honest with yourself. What are the tendencies for us to turn to? Because it's in the Psalm of Praise, David implores us to remember. And in Exodus 32, please catch this, because I didn't tell you that story for no reason. Exodus 32:10, after all this, God speaks and he says, I have seen the people, they are stiff-necked and they are stubborn because they're pursuing other things. And what God says, this is the wrath of the God, where God says, get out of the way, I'm about to unleash my wrath upon them. God says, I'm done. Now, that doesn't preach very well. If I just said that right off the bat, some people would come in and say, let's go have an early lunch. God says, I'm done. God says, I'm taking them out. I'm wiping them out. Moses, get out of the way. It's game time. Almost fell down. It's game time, and I'm taking them out. But Moses prays. Do you remember the story when Moses prays for them? He says, God, spare them. And God steps back. He shows them grace, and he shows them mercy. And catch this, just in case you think I'm making all this up. Look at this. Look at our passage as we go to this in just a minute. As we get to these other verses, look at verse 8. God is described as compassionate. Now you know the meat of the story. Look at now, because why Moses in verse 7 is described here. Verse 8 says, this is because the Lord is compassionate, he is gracious, he's slow to anger, and now he is abounding in love. Does that make sense now? When we see the story of Moses and why he relented, because Moses pleaded with him, says, God, don't strike them down. Show them grace. And that's what I love about verse 8. I hope you have the underline. He says he's compassionate, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in love. And in verse 9 says he doesn't always accuse, he doesn't harbor anger forever. And thank you, Jesus. In verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is separation, death, both physical and spiritual death, away from God forever. But Jesus stepped in. And he took that sin and he paid our price and he redeemed our life. Just like when Moses stepped in and said, God, spare them, spare them, spare them. He describes the greatness of God in verse 11, this vastness of God's love. And I'm not going to read it to you. I have it on screen, but I just want to remind you of Ephesians 3, where Paul is praying that the people in his church would experience the depth and the height and the width of God's love. He just wants them to get it. In verse 12, another amen moment where he says, our sins are from the, as far as the east, that wait, yeah, east is from the west. When does the east and west touch? Never. Your sins, they're gone. If you know Christ Jesus, who has atoned for those sins, they're taken care of. And we've talked about this before. If you don't, that's when the wrath will come. I want you to see these. These are important. First Peter describes beautifully this atoning work of Jesus. Look at 1 Peter 1. It's on the screen. It says, you were redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down to you from your forefathers with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins. You can put your name in there. He bore David's sin in his body on a tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. 1 Peter 3, if you want to keep going, 1 Peter says, for Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. And if all that's not enough, in verse 13, David stands in front as he writes this down, and he's standing for the temple. I can picture it. He's describing God as a father, as a loving father. Does God's character lead you to praise him? When we step into a worship service like this, or when we open our Bibles at home, or we step into a small group, or we're just working through life, when we step into praise and to worship, does the character of God, does it push our hearts to worship? And can I look at you, church, this morning? Have you forgotten? We forget sometimes. And the implication today is maybe not neglect who God is, and let's not forget him. Because when I forget him, let me not talk to you, let me talk about me. When I forget God, it's when everything else looks really good. The worldly things looks very shiny and great. But when I look at God and I step into that and I bask in the glory of who he is and my eternal weight is in him, and sometimes I've had to do what David's done is preach to myself and say, David, stop it. Not King David. David, stop it. Stop going after those things. They're not going to give you any joy. There's nothing lasting there. Quit pursuing those things. And you have to preach to yourself and say, stop. Stop it. Praise him. Praise him and praise him. I'll paraphrase 15 through 22 when he talks about our life is temporary and that God reigns over all things. And then he closes with a bookend praise, if you will. He says, praise the Lord. And he invites the angels down, you mighty ones, to do his bidding and to obey the word. He says, praise the Lord, you heavenly host. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere. Life is short. Things come and go, but the Lord's love is eternal. And I love because David invites us to step into this. He invites us to step in and to remember and to remember and to remember. Can I ask you a question this morning before we close? Why are you here this morning? I hope it's more than we want our kids to be in church, or I'm going for my spouse, or I had nothing else to do, or I know this. I know that the heart of our people is to come and gather because we think he is worthy, and he's worthy of our praise and our worship, and he's worthy to come and to sing and to give him glory and to open his word and let it speak to us. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Is God worthy of our affection, our praise, and our honor? And here's the thing to close with. And then we're done. Why? If you would agree that God is worthy to come here this morning and he's worthy to worship, why? Because here's what I want to do. You can put your Bibles up. We're going to close and pray. But I want to ask you to do something. And I'm going to ask you, it's a small group this morning, but I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you in a minute. We're not going to have a time of prayer at the end of just praying with the Lord. And we do that a lot. But I want us to do something as a collective body this morning. I'm going to ask us adults to do what we ask the children to do in front of everybody. We're going to have a time of prayer, but it's going to be to talk to him. And I'm going to ask you in a minute, we're going to stand up, have our eyes closed, and we're just going to have a time of praise. And I'm going to ask you to verbalize with your mouth who God is. God, you may just say he's worthy. If you need a cheat sheet, you can open up 103 back again. He's compassionate. You love me first. You forgive me. You can say a sentence if you want. It's going to just hopefully be just little pockets. Nobody's going to hear you, maybe somebody next to you. We're not going to give you a microphone like the kids did. But I know that he's worthy of that. And you want to see a beautiful thing is we're going to praise him and we're going to step into him and then we're going to close with a song, but we're not going to pray a quiet prayer. I want just to verbalize as a church, God, this is why I'm here. This is why I want to worship you. This is why you're worthy. I want to declare it with my mouth. And I'm going to ask you to have a little holy boldness this morning, a little courage, because I've seen us as grown men, we will talk about our teams and our guns and our football sports or basketball or baseball or this and that. And I don't know what women talk about. But we've got a lot of things that we talk about that we will verbalize, we'll talk about. I would love it. I've never done this. I would love it if everybody could think of one thing about why you worship God and to verbalize it out loud. To let our little kids, they may do it too, to let them hear, this is why we're here, because we worship him, we love him, and he's great, and he's good, and he's compassionate. You can use those too if you want. So I'm going to ask you to stand and close your eyes for just a minute. We're going to do this, and we're going to sing the last song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, and we're done. Every eye closed, just to focus on the Lord. And I just want to invite you into a time of prayer. And when you're ready, for whatever reason, that God is this, God is this, thank you for being this, would you just verbalize it out loud? And let's praise him, let's adore him, and let's tell him, and let's remember why we came today. Let's remember how great he is, and let's tell him, and let's praise him with adoration. This time is yours. I'll give you about a minute or two, and then we'll sing. God, you heard your people. You heard the little ones this morning say that you're good and that you're mighty and you're big. And you heard us as a church collectively adore you and remember who you are. Thank you for being faithful. And as we sing this song, as we think about the depth of your love for us, may we just continue to press in and continue to remember and remember and remember. We thank you for Jesus who stepped in and he took our sin on himself so that we can be free. We can be forgiven. And that is why you don't treat us as our sins deserve, because Jesus took the punishment for our sins that we deserved. So we thank you. We praise you and we worship you, and let us do it in one last song. How deep the Father's love for us. It's your name I pray. Amen.